It's time for another episode of Rainmaker for Contractors. Interviews and success stories with million-dollar-plus basement waterproofing and foundation repair owners. Discover how they market and grow their companies in today's economy. Hear directly from the most successful leaders in your industry. With your host and Rainmaker for Contractors owner, Bill Crawford.
Hey, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast. We have a really unique podcast today in that John Bryan is joining myself, and we're going to be talking about the up-and-coming Effectus sales training on April 30th in Philadelphia. So we wanted to give you some of the content that we're going to share there in this short podcast. But first of all, John, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. I don't think I've told you this, but we were talking about this in a meeting this morning. One of the first podcasts I did was with you talking about sales training, and I believe that is our number one viewed podcast. So how about that? Had many guests. Yeah, I've had a lot of different guests and people like that. I was afraid to tell you that because I think maybe your head would get too big or something. Or you charged me to be on here or something. So, but anyway, you know, you and I have been talking and we've actually been asked to put this on several times. People get new sales reps and you and I offer this structured sales training process that can be reproduced in the home and you can get better as you go. Follow it. I guess maybe we start there. What do you think about the sales process that we teach at this Effectus training?
You know, I've been in this business over 35 years and I was lucky enough to come into an organization that taught a successful sales process, and working with contractors, especially waterproofing contractors and structural repair contractors over the years, I'm amazed how there's really not a lot of process or successful processes out there, and a lot of them just kind of wing it. And I think the process is the solution to all of your woes when it comes to the sales department, and very, very excited anytime we do these Effectus trainings, because a lot of the participants, almost all the participants, come back and they immediately increase their success rate. And that's proof enough that what we're sharing is working.
Absolutely. We do tend to have a very high return rate, you know, and it's a very similar topic of what we're teaching. But, you know, like when you're running your company and when I was running my company, we're reinforcing the same procedure over and over and over again. And if you don't get that system taught to you, it's so easy to drift. So, you know, it's funny, the topic that you bring up, some people say, oh, we don't have like a sales process. But you and I would say, well, everyone has a sales process, whether you're aware of it or not. We're creatures of habit. And so you're going into the home and you're probably doing really similar things. So I think everyone has the sales process, but it might not be the right one. Like they might not be aware of it, but if they documented it, they're going to find a lot of similarities on what they're doing. That's for sure. So, you know, one of the main places to start is really the big one that you and I talk about. And then we ask this question and people are kind of like, like they don't want to raise their hand. And we always say like, okay, so how many are getting to the kitchen table before you go down into the inspection? Right. And it's like, oh yeah, we do. And it's like, okay, well, what percentage of the leads do you actually get to the kitchen table to ask the questionnaire? It's like, oh, I should work on that. And then it's like, how many do it like 75% of the time? And like almost no one raises their hand. And like, how many do it 50%? And then, you know, most of the people are raising their hand like maybe 20 or 25% of the time. But man, why do you think it's so important to get to the kitchen table and go through the questionnaire before you go down in the basement?
Well, basic sales 101, there's something called a warm-up. And for some odd reason over the years, some have lost their way with that term, the warm-up. And people buy from people they like and they trust. When you immediately go down in the basement, where does that like and trust get developed and built? Also, sales is about control. And doing everything that the homeowner wants you to do, I think, is a bad trait. That you want to have that sales process, get in, get to know the prospect or the prospects, you know, get them together. How many times have you, as we say in the business, pitched to one leg or pitched one of the two decision makers, and at the end it falls flat and now the condition, not an objection, but the condition is I have to speak with my spouse. So, you know, sitting with them at the beginning, bringing up, you know, why is so important. Why are you out there? Why did they call you? Why are they looking into getting this fixed? Is so, so very important. And that's to the back to the warm up at the kitchen table or wherever you want to sit and talk with them. And I really believe most sales are won and lost by not doing that properly at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love the doctor analogy. You know, can you go to a doctor's office and just bypass the receptionist and the questionnaire and the HIPAA sign off and all that kind of stuff and just go, yeah, doc, come on over here. I just need a prescription for this. And then I'm good. Like that doesn't happen. And if that happened, who's in charge? Who's in control? And who's really the expert? Like certainly not the doctor in that case. The doctor's getting walked all over. And so when the homeowner's like, oh yeah, but you know, go downstairs and it's down there. Let me know what you find. Or worse yet, you know, we don't allow people like you into the front door, go to the side door and then let me know when you're done kind of a thing. You know, you're not in charge at all, but then you bring up great questions. How do you build that trust and rapport? And then those questions as to like, so why am I here? And you know, why is this urgent today? If you've had this problem for 5 years, you know, what made you call today? What's going on? And so often they tip their hat to their reasons as to why you're there. Maybe they came across some money. Maybe someone's going to work from home and they want an office down there. And that's going to be an indicator as to what to look for and what's going to be important to them. Maybe they're going to start working out and putting a treadmill down there and they're going to be breathing all this air down there. Or maybe some things got ruined. Like, we don't know. But if you don't find that ahead of time, it's really hard to position your whole presentation based on like, go look down there and tell me what's going on or give me a price. Yeah, give me a price and get out of here. I got 10 minutes for you, right? Why do you think it's important to have both homeowners in the basement during the inspection?
Well, we're selling a need, not a want. Many times, and I have friends that sell pools and siding and decks. Those are things people want because they make their house look better or they can enjoy a nice deck or pool in the backyard. And many times they do meet with just the spouse because it is something they want, and a want is easier to accept than a need. We're talking about something that frustrates them when it rains, when they find out that it's just not a water issue, but it also can turn into a structural and a health issue. That raises more concerns. And most importantly, when you're working with a couple, a husband, wife, or a mom and a daughter, or a son and a father, they have to kind of all thoughts together before they make a decision. And, you know, one thing I learned in this business very, very early on is you can handle an objection, which is I'm thinking about it, I'm shopping, I want to sleep on it, but you can handle a condition. And a condition is when all decision makers aren't there and they say to you, oh, that's great, Bill. Love what you have to say, but I need to talk to my spouse. The spouse isn't there. You can try to call them, but again, they didn't get through that whole process that we talked about from the beginning and creating the pain and misery and urgency. And then, of course, the relief is, yes, let's fix this. So it's such a tough thing to institute into an organization, and I've been fighting with organizations forever to do it, is getting both husband and wife there.
So, but John, let me interrupt you on that one. Yeah. A little bit. So when you and I have asked that question, you know, how many of you, you know, want both homeowners in the home? Everyone, yeah, for sure. It's like, okay, how many, you know, require it? You know, every hand goes down. How many ask? Well, you know, we ask, but, you know, we don't really work very hard. And my understanding of that is, you know, in the majority of cases, people are pitching one-leggers, like very, very high. And if by coincidence, both of them are home, you know, great, but we don't ask for that. We don't want to offend anybody. All right. And that's what we see all the time.
Yes.
But we don't want to, you know, we do try to take the approach of like, hey, we recommend this. If your system's working for you, like some of the people we meet and work with, like they have a great follow-up system and that's what they rely on. Like they might email the proposal and they give their leads to their reps. And I mean, that lead is now owned by the sales rep. There's not even like you can work it for 3 days. So people have a lot of different ways to sell, and that's fine. Like, we really try to come alongside. We're not going to, you know, beat you up too bad. If you do something different, we're here to help. I want to circle. Of course, go ahead.
And of course, one thing to add to that is what adds to the stress of that now is sometimes you're in a house and you have husband and wife there, but one of them is on a Zoom call because the virtual world we live in now. Sure. So you're still in that situation, even though husband and wife are in the home together and one's That's not right. participating. So, you know, we get it. The follow-up program is important. That's something that, you know, we're really focusing on now because, like you said, it is the standard out there and we have to work with what other companies are instituting.
Absolutely. I'm going to circle back to that car analogy and tie it into the inspection. Then I want to jump over to the clay bowl briefly. But, you know, how does someone sell a car? You know, so often it's like, hey, you know, let's take it around. Let's drive it around. And then it's even, you know, take this car for a day or two. You know, see how you like it. And they want you to experience that and to feel it and to feel what it likes to, what it's like to hit that gas and to blast the stereo. And it's you and you're free and all that kind of stuff and all the commercials that they're selling. But with the inspection, if the homeowner's never in the basement, it's really hard to relive any of the damages that get uncovered. And it's also difficult when you find new damages in the home and the homeowner doesn't see it. It's now you're almost getting into like, well, I don't even believe that you found that in my basement. But when they're there and you pull back the carpeting and there's rusted tack strips and there's maybe some bugs and there's some mold growing on the padding, like that's a very, very different experience of finding that together versus saying, hey, I found some stuff you should be aware of. It's like, they don't even believe you. It's like, look, just fix the corner in the basement. You know, that's all we're really interested in. So, you know, it's been my experience, the more damage that you could find, the better. That the when I give this analogy, when I ask this question, it seems like it always resonates. I love asking the question, how many of you have sold a crawl space job and you're the only inspector that went inside that crawl space and the homeowner told you that and they said, I'm going with you because you're the only person in there that actually looked around inside the crawl space. And everyone's like, yeah, I've had some of those. And I think that relates to the inspection as well, is that when you're thorough and you're finding new stuff, there's something that happens that the homeowner's like, man, this person was the most thorough person that we had out here and they found the most. And I think there's an assumption that if you find more damage, you're going to fix more stuff. So you know, all the more reason to get both homeowners in the home. And, you know, I don't want to set unrealistic standards. John, you bring up a really good point. And a lot of times, both homeowners are there and one or both of them are working from home. Like they're probably even thinking like, oh, I have 10 minutes to open the door, say hi to you, but I have to get back to work. So there is that dynamic and it can be challenging to get both homeowners there. But then, you know, you have to ask the question, is there a system, getting back to our sales process, and is there a system or questions to ask maybe even before the rep goes out there? And then during, like, how do we get both homeowners there? And then is that being talked about and discussed with the sales rep? So I don't want to explore that here just yet, but let me jump over to the, John, you've always taught that the clay bowl, and we've always gotten great feedback in that. And people have heard you and saw your diagram. And for me, it's always been a little bit too techy, but the feedback we get is awesome, right? And they was like, man, I get a lot of sales off of just explaining this clay bowl thing. And the homeowners say, I get it. Like, I finally get it. You're the first person to actually explain this to me on why my house leaks. So what do you think about the clay bowl? And why is it so impactful?
Well, disclaimer, I did not create the clay bowl. I wish I could say I did. But
that's fair.
You know, the clay bowl's been around longer than me. And it comes back to providing enough information to the homeowner so they make a informed but correct decision. And unless they know how the house was built, the basic way the house was built and why water is getting into their house or why the foundation is not structurally sound, they can't make an informed decision. And too many times we go in and we just go over the solution. We find the water and we're so eager to, you know, go over the solution and get to the price versus having that slow, informative, fact-finding process. Go back to the word process again. And the clay bowl is an important part of every presentation. And unfortunately, some sales reps either don't put it into their repertoire at all or briefly go over it because it's a bother in their eyes and never engage. And that's the important word to use with the clay bowl, is never engage the owners with why their basin is leaking. Remember, this is the largest investment they'll ever make in their lifetime. They want to preserve that investment and they want to know why before they make the decision on when.
Absolutely, for sure. I want to hit one more topic and then we could maybe talk about some of the details. You know, we work with smaller, you and I come from larger companies with running multiple sales reps and, you know, several people that come to this Effectus Leadership training, they might be the only guy in the company that sells. And they also happen to be the owner. And they also happen to, you know, stop in on jobs and make sure they're being run well. Sometimes they're also the person that's taking an estimate call. And for them to make that transition to hire a sales rep, it's like, it's a big deal for them. And it's hard. It's always hard for owners to let go of a position because they're like, no one does it as good as I do. And the customers trust me and I like it, you know, that whole thing. But then they also know I can't grow and I got to stop working 80 hours a week and try to do everything and be the superhero. For the owners that maybe don't have the sales background that you and I have and really understand the structure of thing, they try to find a sales rep that worked at a previous company and they might have more sales experience than they do. What I see sometimes is a deference of authority. And it's almost like, well, you know, I'm hiring you for you to do your thing. And if you could just bring in jobs that are profitable, like that's good for me. Like, that's great. My challenge for those owners is always, you've got to learn as much about sales as you can. And the more that you learn, the more successful your sales, your organization is going to be. You've got to embrace this thing. You can't defer it out. You can't hire it out. You've got to understand this because your sales reps, even the experienced ones, they need support. They need accountability. And you've got to position them for success. So the more successful you can be, the more successful they're going to be. Do you have any thoughts on that concept? And kind of the smaller guys that are trying to grow and get out of like trying to do everything.
Yeah, that's a big boy question right there. You know, as owners, yes, I was just thinking that. You know, as owners of small businesses, we kind of have to do it all. And you know, I talked to many of those owners, and I've mentored a lot of those owners, and they feel like they just have that 100-pound backpack on their back day in and day out. It's not healthy. Amongst everything else, it's not healthy. And they think they can have the quick fix, like we used to say, putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm. Oh, I'm just going to hire someone with experience. Well, anybody that has experience is any good is working for a company. Anybody that is experienced and looking for a job, there's always some things that are causing them to look for another job. There's reasons why. Sure. And finding that quick fix never happens. It never happens. You're bringing them from what they're thinking, that old dog trying to teach an old dog new tricks, to your culture. And nothing's quick in this world. Nothing's easy in this world. Developing somebody that has sales knowledge, it's good to have that person, but someone with sales and waterproofing and foundation knowledge, it's a tough find. And most of the times you strike out with it. So, you know, what I always tell many of the owners and sales managers out there is just like there's a process in selling waterproofing and structural repair, there's a process in hiring and it takes time. So there's two ways you can do it. You can hire someone with a lot of experience in this industry and, you know, be severely disappointed because they're uncontrollable or they don't want to do it your way. Or you can hire a whole lot of people and hopefully find that diamond in the rough. I don't know the answer. I just know the answer is finding someone that you feel like you can mentor and you connect with, and that person will do wonders for you.
Yeah. And know how to mentor them, right? Like, you got to understand the sales process yourself in order to hold them accountable and support them. So, all right. So Effectuous Leadership, next training is April 30th. It's in Philadelphia. So it is piggybacking the Basement Health Association annual meeting, which that starts April 30th in the evening. I think it's at 6 p.m. cocktail hour. And then the main 2 days of education would be May 1st and May 2nd. So we're the event before Basement Health Association. We're going to go from 9 to 5. Check-in is at 8:30. More information, go to effectusleadership.com. And questions, call John's cell phone number. It's on there somewhere. Any comments on that? That's it. Yeah. Expect a lot of phone calls and texts.
No, super excited. Love when we do these events. Always get a really positive feedback from everyone in attendance. And we didn't do one the end of last year for various reasons. So we're back ready to go. And we've changed it up a lot. We've changed it up for a few reasons. Number one, we always want new material, which we have a lot of new material, which we're excited to share. But also, we're going to talk about the three-step follow-up. And we found that not just what we just talked about with some people just, you know, need to follow up and they provide the leads to the sales reps that they get to keep from day one till the end. But, you know, the other reason is back to what we talked about with the new world we live out there in Zoom. So we're going to really focus on the three-step follow-up on how to maximize the leads and have them result into sales if you cannot get all homers there, or if they give you the non, you know, I'm going to shop, I'm going to think on it. And there is a process, and I've never told anyone this before, but I've sold one-leggers. Even in the days when one-leggers were not a thing and were not allowed, I used to sell one-leggers because I had a process that worked. I didn't like it, but I knew it was part of my overall closing percentage. And we are going to share that with you on the 30th, and I think it's going to be well the reception is going to be well taken.
Absolutely. A secret, John Bryant's secret. You sold one-leggers. All right. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you could join us again April 30th in Philadelphia. Have a great day.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast, where basement waterproofing and foundation repair business owners and industry experts share marketing and sales information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and get all of our show notes at rainmakerforcontractors.com/podcast.